Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 195. Not what I am, O Lord, but what thou art, that alone can be my soul's true rest. Thy love, not mine, bids fear and doubt depart, and stills the tumult of my troubled breast. Hymn number 195. The scriptural will be given by Dale from Virginia.
Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. The meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever.
Let us now have a moment of silent prayer and then repeat together the Lord's Prayer with its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook.
Our Father, who art in heaven.
Our Father, Mother God, all harmonious.
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 49. Dear Lord and Father of us all, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful mind. In purer lives thy service find. In deeper reverence praise. Hymn number 49.
Dear Lord.
welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church, Independence. We begin our Sunday mornings here at 10 a.m. and now daylight saving time. Congratulations to those of you who got here on time. We begin our Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion, where we discuss this week's lesson and learn how to practice Christian Science better daily in our lives. And we had another really good one this morning. So if you missed it, or if you'd like to hear it again, you can find it on our website, plainfieldcs.com. And you can also find it on our YouTube channel and our Vimeo channel. We have a Sunday school for children that meets at 11 a.m. And that Sunday school is available to children just about everywhere. Many of our Sunday school students do not live in the area, but they dial in on a dedicated teleconference number just for the Sunday school. And that means that if you don't live in the area but have a child of Sunday school age, your child can also attend. Just call us. We'll give you the number. And the Sunday school teachers would be very happy to welcome your child to our Sunday school. We have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15, where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives made much better through the study and practice of Christian Science. And again, a reminder, our next Bible study session will be held on Saturday, March 29 at 10 a.m. So be sure to mark your calendars, and we'll let you know when the study questions are on the website. And at all of our meetings and services, we do have a nursery available for infants and toddlers. So if you can attend in person, you can bring the whole family. We have 18 different websites in 18 different languages, and every one of them contains the very finest Christian Science literature. This is our mission, to bring the very finest of Christian Science to people around the world in their own language. And we're very grateful for those of you who have found one or more of our websites, have found the comfort and the healing power of Christian Science. And everything that we provide on our websites is absolutely free of charge. Freely we have been given, and freely we have received. Yes, and freely we do give. I'd like to point out a great article, that's now featured on our English language website. Article is entitled, A Right Attitude. It's by Gilbert Carpenter. And it talks about the attitude that's required to live a good, successful, and useful life. Really good. Short, but really good. And everyone is welcome here. And that includes all of you who are listening and participating now from around the world. And now we will have the reading of a testimony of healing from our textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures, which attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will now be given by Karen from California.
Page 664, Curing, Better Than Enduring. For 8 years, I was a great sufferer from weak lungs, and after being treated by 10 different physicians in the states of Illinois, Missouri, and Colorado, I was told there was no hope of my recovery from what they pronounced tuberculosis, which was hereditary, my father having been afflicted with it. I was greatly emaciated and hardly able to be about. My general condition was aggravated by what the doctor said was paralysis of the bowels. Three physicians so diagnosed it at different times and assured my husband that I could never get more than temporary relief. This indeed I found difficult to obtain, in spite of my almost frantic efforts. At times, I was nearly insane from suffering, and after 8 years of doctoring, I found myself steadily growing worse. For 4 years, I did not have a normal action of the bowels, and it was only by extreme effort and by resort to powerful drugs or mechanical means with resultant suffering that any action whatever could be brought about. I had heard nothing of the curative power of Christian Science, and only to oblige a friend, I went one night about 3 years ago to one of their midweek testimonial meetings in Boulder, Colorado. I was much impressed by what I had heard there and determined at once to investigate this strange religion in the hope that it might have something good for me. I bought the textbook Science and Health, and from the first, I found myself growing stronger and better, both physically and mentally, as I acquired a better understanding and endeavored to put into practice what I learned. In 1 week, I was able to get along better without drugs than I had for years with them. And before 3 months had passed, I was better than I had been any time in my life, for I had always suffered more or less from bowel trouble. Since that time, I have taken no medicine whatever and rely wholly upon Christian Science. My lungs are now sound, my bowels normally active, my general health excellent, and I am able to endure without fatigue tasks that before would have prostrated me. The study of our textbook was the sole means of my healing. L.M., Mattachin Canal Zone, Panama.
The Bible and the Christian Science textbook are our only preachers. The scriptural texts and their correlative passages from our textbook, these comprise our sermon. The canonical writings, together with the word of our textbook, corroborating and explaining the Bible texts in their denominational, spiritual import and application to all ages, past, present, and future, constitute a sermon undivorced from truth, uncontaminated or fettered by human hypotheses, and authorized by Christ. And today's lesson sermon can be found on page 20 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject: Man. The golden text is from Isaiah. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? The responsive reading is from Genesis and Psalms. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him.
Male and female
created he them.
And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good.
Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name.
For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations.
Lenny from Georgia will now read.
I will read from the Bible. Psalms. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. 2 Kings. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and lay there. And he said to Gehazi his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king, or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then died. And she went up and laid him on a bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him, and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men, and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive and go forward. Black not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thine husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is well. And when she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me? And when Elisha was come unto the house, behold, the child was dead, and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore, and shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up, and laid upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, Call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, Take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Matthew. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Zephaniah. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing.
Bruce will now read.
I will read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. Question: What is man? Answer: Man is not matter. He is not made up of brain, blood, bones, and other material elements. The scriptures inform us that man is made in the image and likeness of God. Matter is not that likeness. The likeness of spirit cannot be so unlike spirit. Man is spiritual and perfect, and because he is spiritual and perfect, he must be so understood in Christian Science. Man is idea, the image of love. He is not physique. He is the compound idea of God, including all right ideas, the generic term for all that reflects God's image and likeness, the conscious identity of being as found in science, in which man is the reflection of God or mind, and therefore is eternal. That which has no separate mind from God. That which has not a single quality underived from deity. That which possesses no life, intelligence, nor creative power of his own, but reflects spiritually all that belongs to his Maker. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Man is incapable of sin, sickness, and death. The real man cannot depart from holiness, nor can God, by whom man is evolved, engender the capacity or freedom to sin. A mortal sinner is not God's man. In divine science, man is the true image of God. The divine nature was best expressed in Christ Jesus, who threw upon mortals the truer reflection of God and lifted their lives higher than their poor thought models would allow, thoughts which presented man as fallen, sick, sinning, and dying. The Christ-like understanding of scientific being and divine healing includes a perfect principle and idea, perfect God and perfect man, as the basis of thought and demonstration. Man's individuality is not material. This science of being obtains not alone hereafter in what men call paradise, but here and now. It is the great fact of being for time and eternity. What then is the material personality which suffers, sins, and dies? It is not man, the image and likeness of God, but man's counterfeit, the inverted likeness, the unlikeness called sin, sickness, and death. Material man is made up of involuntary and voluntary error, of a negative right and a positive wrong, the latter calling itself right. Man's spiritual individuality is never wrong. It is the likeness of man's maker. Matter cannot connect mortals with the true origin and facts of being, in which all must end. It is only by acknowledging the supremacy of spirit, which annuls the claims of matter, that mortals can lay off mortality and find the indissoluble spiritual link which establishes man forever in the divine likeness, inseparable from his Creator. The belief that matter and mind are one, that matter is awake at one time and asleep at another, sometimes presenting to appearance of mind, this belief culminates in another belief, that man dies. Science reveals material man as never the real being. The dream or belief goes on, whether our eyes are closed or open. In sleep, memory and consciousness are lost from the body, and they wander whither they will, apparently with their own separate embodiment. Personality is not the individuality of man. A wicked man may have an attractive personality. When we are awake, we dream of the pains and pleasures of matter. Who will say, even though he does not understand Christian Science, that this dream, rather than the dreamer, may not be mortal man? Who can rationally say otherwise, when the dream leaves mortal man intact in body and thought, although the so-called dreamer is unconscious? For right reasoning, there should be but one fact before the thought, namely spiritual existence. In reality, there is no other existence, since life cannot be united to its unlikeness, mortality. Being is holiness, harmony, immortality. It is already proved that a knowledge of this, even in small degree, will uplift the physical and moral standard of mortals, will increase longevity, will purify and elevate character. Thus, progress will finally destroy all error and bring immortality to light. We know that a statement proved to be good must be correct. New thoughts are constantly obtaining the floor. These two contradictory theories, that matter is something, or that all is mind, will dispute the ground until one is acknowledged to be the victor. The ideal man corresponds to creation, to intelligence, and to truth. The ideal woman corresponds to life and to love. Divine love blesses its own ideas and causes them to multiply, to manifest his power. Man is not made to till the soil. His birthright is dominion, not subjection. He is Lord of the belief in earth and heaven, himself subordinate alone to his Maker. This is the science of being. We must realize the ability of mental might to offset human misconceptions and to replace them with the life which is spiritual, not material. The great spiritual fact must be brought out that man is, not shall be, perfect and immortal. The sinless joy, the perfect harmony and immortality of life, possessing unlimited divine beauty and goodness, without a single bodily pleasure or pain, constitutes the only veritable, indestructible man, whose being is spiritual. Man is God's reflection, needing no cultivation, but ever beautiful and complete.
Let us now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 160. The words to this hymn are by Mary Baker Eddy. It matters not what be thy lot, so love doth guide. For storm or shine, pure peace is thine, whate'er betide. Hymn number 160. Thank you. Let's now sing hymn number 121. How blessed are they whose hearts are pure, from guile their thoughts are free. To them shall God reveal himself, they shall his glory see. Hymn number 121.
I shall read from the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and his infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Romans. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen.